think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with the microphone in your hand.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the Sensible Football Podcast. This is Tariq joining you along with Vishal.
Hey guys.
And we are still absolutely bedazzled and blinded, not to mention befuddled by the tactical brilliance and the absolute mastery and the utter joy of watching Liverpool United over the weekend on Saturday. The game, of course, finished 0-0. Jose Mourinho, as we're discussing, pulled off a Jose Mourinho. We'll have a lot to talk about that game. That is the game that will lead our podcast this week. But this week, our podcast was also at the Premier League live event. Fantastic event, but for the 0-0 draw, Vishal, because almost 10,000 people turned up to watch it. And at the end of the day, it did not have much to show for it, because otherwise it was a fantastic atmosphere for all these football fans to come in and interact with legends one-on-one. It was fantastic to see Alan Shearer come on stage, receive the biggest cheer, and so on and so forth. But the football turned out to be decidedly anticlimactic. Not only did we have United draw Liverpool 0-0, this game was followed by, I wouldn't call it an incompetent display, but surprisingly poor display from Chelsea. I think you had warned about it in our preview podcast, that desperate teams are dangerous, and that's what they turned out to be. Crystal Palace scoring not once, but twice after having failed to find the net all season, and beating Chelsea 2-1 in front of their supporters. And finally, the night ended with hundreds of Arsenal supporters who had travelled long distances to come to this event in Bangalore to watch their team. Including the great Robert Pires himself. What they got to watch was Arsenal blow away 1-0 lead, a game they seemed to be comfortably handling till then. Things falling apart in the last 10-15 minutes for them against Watford, who, by the way, now, Vishal, sit above them on the Premiership table. Chelsea. Rather astonishingly, have had a fantastic start to the season. Yep. We also caught up with Brighton and Hove Albion, a team that now sits at least 3 points adrift of the relegation zone, a team that had just made it to the Premier League after a long time. So we'll have something on them later in the podcast. But we will get there a little later, because Vishal, for a 0-0 draw, we have a lot to unpack from Manchester United versus Liverpool, or rather Liverpool versus Manchester United. We are no strangers to Mourinho's tactics. We have discussed them often. We have also expressed our relative neutrality about some of these things, because we are not driven by narratives of whether we want to like Mourinho or hate Mourinho for this, because if he's shown one thing over the years, that he's a very practical minded manager. But did yep. did he miss an early season trick here because of the kind of scorching pace City are setting? So let's try and take apart this 0-0 draw.
Like you said, no surprises in Mourinho's approach. Yeah, he did take one notch higher this time, or deeper rather, where he had no intentions of even pushing forward or trying to score a goal. If it happened, it happened. It was this approach more or less. There was no, United were not keen on holding on to the ball. United were not keen on trying to create chances. United were more or less comfortable just sitting back and, you know, absorbing all the pressure from Liverpool and going back home with a clean sheet and getting the 1 point. So it was clear what his objective was or what he wanted out of this game, and he seems to have got it. The only positive for United is one, is simply the fact that their defence did hold out very well. They really did put in a good collective performance, including support from midfield. While I think against a better offence, for example, if Liverpool had a Mane, I think the results would have been a little different. I think Liverpool would have definitely scored, because then the penetration would have come from both sides instead of just focusing on Salah as a problem. So against a better side, for example, against the City, this tactic will not work. City will beat you and will open up your defence and will score. But I think Mourinho was clear that he could pull this off against Liverpool, and he looks at this as a good point and not as a bad 2 points drop. And he looks at it as a point. Looks at it at this point as a point gain.
Right. So he, as you were saying earlier, goes away the happier manager. I mean, that seemed to be sort of the consensus all through. Another point that came out was the fact that he did manage to frustrate Jurgen Klopp, who seemed flustered at the end of the game, which also scores him psychological points. And, you know, we all know Mourinho is all about scoring those psychological points on and off the field. But Vishal, having said that about the 0-0 draw, we have to talk about the elephant of a result in the room, which is Manchester City 7, Stoke City 2. I mean, this was a fearful display from a team that seems to be finding its stride. We have discussed in an earlier episode about whether Pep Guardiola is finally perfecting some kind of tiki-taka with English characteristics. But more importantly, we had at that time sounded the alarm that maybe it's not sustainable, maybe they might not be able to do it against the big teams. But now Chelsea 2 weeks before that, Stoke now. And more importantly, they've laid down a marker, because, I mean, whatever way you look at it, a 7-2 result, regardless of the quality of opposition. And we had thought a team like Stoke could actually test them in terms of physicality.
So I think one thing, credit where it's due, Guardiola's finally got the Man City players to perform consistently. So a large chunk of these players are moody players, and I think over the course of the season, which is going to still be his challenge, where if he can continue to get them to play 38 good games instead of 15 to 16 good games in a season. So I don't know if he's worried about if they're peaking too early, but right now everybody on that field is on top form. Kevin De Bruyne seems to be on his own playing field. He seems to be setting up, creating, scoring goals for fun. And there's no surprise there. I think he is going to continue being their most consistent and possibly the best player on the ground. The challenge, like you said, is going to be sustaining this, because what the top managers in the Premier League or what other managers in the Premier League are doing are definitely watching and making notes and trying to figure out how to counter this. So, for example, Mourinho is possibly already working on a plan to neutralize Kevin De Bruyne, or, for example, a David Silva or a Raheem Sterling. And against Chelsea, obviously, they came out and did really well and countered that as well. So it's going to be very interesting. They are definitely moving forward as favourites this season. They have the squad depth. They definitely have the offensive power. Nobody is going to question that anymore. But the only thing that remains questioned is their defence. And I think I still think their defence is going to work. If anything goes wrong, it will be their defence. So if somebody manages to find a chink in that armour, that's about it. Or else I think Man City will possibly continue in form closer to this, or continue winning at least.
So the point you made about the defence, astonishingly in this match against Stoke, they had practically 70-80% of the possession. Not to mention the fact that they also had almost 90%, 94% passing accuracy. All of that are astonishing and absolutely brilliant stats. But amidst all of this, Stoke still somehow managed to score two goals.
Yep, and I think that's like I said, John Stones and Otamendi are definitely an accident waiting to happen. We've seen that in the past. We see that, or we see Otamendi still diving into stupid tackles, and John Stones' decision making is still bordering poor and average. If against a good attacking lineup, I still think, for example, if you look at the Liverpool game, the score was a little overwhelming, but just before the red card, Salah had a great chance where he just ran at the defense, and I still think a good offensive lineup running at the Liverpool defense will cause, running at the Man City defense will cause them problems, and I still think that's where I think if the teams are going to sit back against Manchester City, yes, they will come. For example, if United aim on parking the bus against City, you will get destroyed by Manchester City because they're too fast, too quick, and too smart and too clever on the football field to really be stopped by 10-5 players just standing behind the ball. You need to think of how you can outplay them. I think this is the first. This is going to be a situation where you need to definitely outplay each other, Manchester City, to really win or cause any sort of trouble to Manchester City.
All right, and that is something that we'll definitely be keeping an eye out for, because we think this is going to be an extremely intriguing title race, and it's probably, for all practical purposes, going to come down to Mourinho versus Guardiola. And that is, I mean, not a game of chess. It is a game of space chess in five dimensions, like they do in Star Trek, because that's the level they are operating in terms of the tactics. The other big game on the weekend, Vishal, Liverpool take on Tottenham Hotspur. That should be an interesting game. So
that's going to be interesting, because Tottenham last night against Madrid at Madrid, I think, were world class. Honestly, world class, and it will be really interesting to see how that translates to Liverpool. But last night, Tottenham's performance was a special performance.
And as we mentioned, we have a special segment at the end of this episode. We caught up with the marketing manager from Brighton, Hove Albion, Mark Dring, and we spoke to him about Brighton's effort and initiative to reach out to Indian fans, which is rather interesting, because they are a club who have just been promoted. This is the first time they are in the Premier League. The last time they were in the top division was 1983.
We are here today with Mark Dring, the marketing manager of Brighton and Hove Albion. Mark, welcome to India.
Great, thanks for having me.
All right, so straight off the bat, Mark, how has the experience been so far, meeting the Indian fans?
The experience has been amazing so far. I've been slightly surprised, in all honesty, just the amount of awareness there is of Brighton and Hove Albion. Even people that have been following us for some years when we're in the Championship, obviously many people are very happy that we finally made it to the Premier League. And also the players as well. I mean, many people, obviously due to the Premier League's remit, global audience, and the likes of Football Manager and games like that people play, people are very aware of the team, the results that have happened so far this season, and sometimes even the wider story of Brighton and Hove Albion and how we got to where we are today.
All right. And you spoke about where we have gotten today. We'd like our listeners to have a bit of a background about the history of the club, the background of the club. So if you could just give us a little bit of a glimpse as to what Brighton and Hove Albion represents in terms of English football.
Okay, I could go into a lot of detail, so I tried to keep it brief, but the club was founded in 1901 in Brighton. First major honour was the FA Charity Shield in 1910, and the club has spent the majority of its history in the second and third tiers of English football, which is why some supporters might not be aware of us. We were in the top flight briefly from 1979 to 1983. And unfortunately were then relegated from the old First Division at that time. But in that period, we did make our first and only FA Cup final appearance.
Against
Manchester United, yes, that's the one. And then following that, we did have a very turbulent time, both on and off the field. We unfortunately lost our home ground, the Goldstone Ground, that was located in Hove, which was taken from almost under the club's feet. Several years of travelling to Gillingham for our home games before being, unfortunately, finding a temporary home called the Withdean Stadium, The game was located back in Sussex. Then there was a much longer campaign to get us a new permanent home. And after many years of protests, we were very fortunate enough to have the backing to move into our new stadium, the American Express Community Stadium, where we're based today. So it's been a long journey. Many of the supporters have been there through, you know, very hard times. And obviously, I'm very much enjoying being in the Premier League now.
Right. And now, being in the Premier League, what kind of football, or what kind of, let's say, approach do we expect to see from Brighton as we go along? I mean, the start has been pretty bright, actually, given the kind of competition they have faced.
Absolutely. We've had some very tough teams that we've played in our own few games. So, you know, to have secured a few wins early on, we're very happy with the way things have gone on the field at the moment. Yeah, the squad, majority of them have been together for a few seasons now, so the core of the team is very strong. The acquisitions we made in the summer, again, were very strong ones. So we think we're very well placed, and we're, you know, we're pretty confident going into today's game against Everton.
All right. Speaking of the reach out here in India, I mean, we were just discussing a little earlier that there are all these big clubs out here who are trying to reach out to fans, and you have the Manchester Cities and the Manchester Uniteds and Liverpool and Arsenal. Amidst all of this, I mean, what prompted the decision for Brighton to be a part of Premier League life here in India?
Well, I think our research and knowledge of the Indian football fans is they are that, football fans. While some will have their allegiances, a large number just do enjoy watching the Premier League. So it seemed like a very big audience that were very captivated by football in the Premier League. So it made complete sense for us to come over here. We've had an unbelievable amount of interest. For example, our space at the park is located between Manchester United and Chelsea. And for most of the time, we've actually had longer queues at our booth. I think people are just intrigued to find out more about us and learn a bit about the club. They see us on TV, and I think they want to know more.
That's good to see. So good to see the brand going international.
Absolutely. No, we're really enjoying being a part of it this weekend. And we just hope everyone will be behind us for our game against Everton today.
All right. I'll certainly be behind you. You can imagine why. Okay.
Great. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time, Mark.
As usual, you can find us on our Audioboom channel. It's audioboom.com/soccersense. Otherwise, you can find us on any of the other podcasting platforms or on Twitter @SenseSoccer. You can say hello, send in questions, send us feedback, whatever you like. In the meantime, that's about all the time we have for this week. This is Tariq signing off along with Vishal.
Pray for United. Yes. Now.
Yes, keep those prayers going. See you guys next week.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.